This is the NBC Theater. From the NBC Theater in Hollywood, we bring you a story both pleasant and proper, told by one of the most pleasant and proper ladies who ever wrote in the English language, Jane Austen. Jane Austen's experience of life was narrow, as befitted a gentlewoman. She knew two facets of the life of her contemporaries, their parlors and their hearts. And of these she wrote with keen understanding and a pen dipped in wit and kindness. Here now, in a radio adaptation by Clarice A. Ross, Jane Austen's Northanger Abbey.
June 18th, David. Tomorrow morning we shall be on our way. 6 whole weeks at Bath. How wonderfully kind of Mr. and Mrs. Allen to ask me with them. If only I've remembered everything that I need to take along.
Catherine, my dear, you really must try to be calm.
Oh, yes, Mother, yes, of course I'm calm. Oh, please tell me, where can my white bonnet be?
On your head, dear. You put it there for safekeeping.
Oh, yes, yes, of course. Now, my new writing desk. Oh, how shall I ever fit it in?
You've no need of all those books. Take them out. What in the world are they?
Oh, no, Mother. Truly, there are only a very few. Udolpho and... only a few others.
Novels. I should think, my dear, you might learn to take pleasure in something a little more beneficial.
Dearest Mama, if only you would read Udolpho. I'm at the page where the heroine has just found a secret door. And
now, Catherine, I beg you will always wrap yourself up warmly about the throat when you come out of the dancing rooms at night.
Oh, Mama, do you suppose I will ever have a partner to dance with?
Perhaps you will. You're rather a good-looking girl, Catherine.
Oh, I must run to Mrs. Allen and ask if she'll wear her blue or her orchid gown for the journey.
You must do nothing of the kind. You have run to her 12 times today already. You are going 30 miles, Catherine. And whatever you may believe, that is no cause for turning the world upside down.
June 21st. We arrived at Bath after a quiet and uneventful journey and are settled in very comfortable lodgings. Tonight, for the first time, we go to the ball at the upper rooms. I have not long to write, for Mrs. Allen must nearly have done dressing. She's been about it 3 hours.
I do wish you could dance, my dear. I wish you could get a partner.
I don't mind watching, Mrs. Allen. There is a great crowd, isn't there?
Indeed. I trust my gown hasn't been torn. Mr. Allen might at least have seen us seated.
Has he gone to the card room?
I should think so. Catherine, has my gown been torn? It's such a delicate muslin.
It is terribly uncomfortable, isn't it? Not to know anyone here.
Very uncomfortable. I do wish you might get a partner, dear. How is my head? Is my hair disarranged?
Oh, it's very nice. Mrs. Allen, those two gentlemen, they're coming towards us. Oh,
the old one is master of the ceremonies. Catherine, it must be that you're going to dance after all.
Good evening, Mrs. Allen.
Good evening, sir.
Mrs. Allen, allow me to present Mr. Tilney. He begs to request the honor of the next dance with your young companion.
It is granted, sir. Miss Moreland, Mr. Tilney.
I must not be remiss, madam, in my proper attentions as a partner. I'm compelled by law to inquire how long you've been at Bath, whether you were ever here before, whether you've been at the theatre, and how you like the place altogether. Shall I begin?
You need not trouble yourself, sir.
Oh, no trouble, I assure you. Have you been long in Bath, madam?
Less than a week, sir.
Really?
Why, are you surprised?
No, I'm not, but I'm to show some emotion, and surprise is as reasonable as any. Now, were you ever here before, madam?
Never, sir.
Have you been to the theatre?
I believe our plan is to go tomorrow, sir.
And are you altogether pleased with Bath?
I like it very well.
Well, now I'm to give one smirk, and then we may be resting again.
Oh, dear.
Why, oh, dear. I shall make a poor figure in your journal, shan't I? Went to the upper rooms, wore my sprigged muslin gown to great advantage, but was harassed by a half-witted man who made me dance with him and distressed me by his nonsense.
I shall say no such thing. Anyway, perhaps I keep no journal.
Well, perhaps you're not in this room and I am not dancing with you. Oh, pardon me. Did I tread on your toe?
Mm-hmm. June 23rd. The weather continues pleasant. At noon each day, we visit a few shops and then go to sit for an hour or two in the pump room. Mr. Tilney has not appeared anywhere since I saw him at the ball. But that does not signify, for of course, no thought of him crosses my mind.
Catherine, Catherine, why do you peer about like that, my dear? Whom are you looking for?
Why, no one, Mrs. Allen. No one at all.
No? Oh, what a delightful place this is. If only we had some acquaintance here.
Mrs. Allen, who's that lady there? She seems to be looking at you.
Where? Why, I'm sure I haven't the least idea.
I may perhaps be mistaken, madam, but is your name not Elizabeth Allen?
Why, yes, it is.
Dearest Mrs. Allen, I am Sarah Thorpe.
Sarah! Why, my dear, I would have known you anywhere.
And I you.
Imagine! Why, I've been longing to see you. Catherine, imagine. Here is one of my dearest friends.
I do believe that it's 20 years since we met, dear Elizabeth. Is this your daughter?
No, I have no children.
Indeed. I have 6. Here is my eldest, my Isabella. Now let us send these 2 young ladies off to make friends with one another. Dear Elizabeth, I have such a deal to tell you.
My dearest Catherine, I cannot think what I occupied myself with here before I found you. Oh, you are certainly the dearest friend I ever had.
That is kind of you, Isabella.
Kind? Why, I feel things very deeply, Catherine. Mama says I have such a loving heart.
Oh, indeed, I am sure you have.
Oh, but now, have you finished the novel I gave you yesterday?
Oh, Isabella, I must finish Udolpho first.
Udolpho? Oh, wonderful. Are you come to the Black Veil?
Yes. Yes, and I pine to know what is behind it.
Ah.
Oh, pray do not tell me.
Oh, I wouldn't. Not for the world. Indeed, Catherine, as you read it, it may even turn your thoughts from a certain person.
Why, my thoughts are not on any person.
Oh, come, my dearest, how you blush. Oh, there now. I'm sure Mr. Tilney must be the most charming young man in the world.
You know he's left Bath.
He will return. He must return to see you. A clergyman, did you not tell me?
Yes.
Ah, I like him for that. I'm very partial to the profession. Oh, Catherine, do look into the shop window quickly now.
Why?
I'm sure those 2 rude young men were looking at us. Insufferable creatures. Do you care for that bonnet?
Do not trouble, Isabella. They've turned the corner.
Oh, which way? One was very good looking.
Towards Singer Street.
Oh, well then. Come, Catherine. We must hurry to Miss Ellen's. You promised to look at my new pelisse.
But if we go now, we'll overtake those young men.
Oh, why then, we should pass them without looking back. Oh, do come along, dearest Catherine.
Whoa, well then.
Oh, Isabella, take care.
Oh, my God. Oh, I do believe it is muddy.
I'll buy you another, dear sister.
Why, how delightful. Mr. Morland and my brother.
Good heavens, James.
Here, groom, take this beast of mine away. And mind you give him the best of care.
Catherine, how are you, dear Miss Thorpe?
Oh, James, what a wonderful
Why,
surprise.
Mr. Morland, what lucky accident brings you here? Oh, John, come quickly. Here is my dearest Catherine, Mr. Morland's sister.
Delighted. How long do you think we've been running down from Tetbury? 5 and 20 miles, eh?
3 and 20?
5 and 20 by Miss Soul. For we have been 2 hours and a half, and I defy any man in England to make my horse go less than 10 miles an hour. What think you, Miss Morland?
Well, the horse did look very hot, to be sure.
Hot? He never turned a hair. That animal's made for speed. I shall take you out driving with him one day, and you'll see. Did you look at the creature?
June 30th. I do not know whether to feel glad or sorry that Mr. Tilney has returned to Bath. He'd only gone to bring his sister, Miss Eleanor, a most charming girl. We met them at the rooms tonight, and Mr. Tilney asked me to dance. But just then, Mr. John Thorpe arrived, crying loudly that it was his dance. Mr. Tilney excused himself and went away. Mr. Thorpe is my brother's friend. But I'm not sure I find him quite agreeable. truly, Mr. Thorpe, I wish you had not been so insistent on my coming driving today.
What? But come? Didn't I say I should drive you out?
Dearest Catherine, you know he did. Why, Mr. Morland heard him say so. Didn't you, Mr. Morland?
Indeed, I did.
But no one said we would drive today. And Miss Tilney did send me a note that we should go walking this afternoon.
And I tell you, I saw her and Henry Tilney driving out Lansdowne Road in a phaeton.
But that is so very odd.
Now let us say no more about it. Who is that girl who stared at you, Catherine?
Where?
On the pavement back there. The girl and the man.
Oh, it's Mr. Tilney and his sister. Stop, Mr. Thorpe. Stop the horse.
Stop upon Miss Soul, no.
Oh, it is, Miss Tilney. I must go back to her. Stop at once.
Catherine, dearest, have a care. You're quite pale.
Oh, Mr. Thorpe has deceived me. The Tilneys did not go away without me after all. And I will speak to them. If you don't stop, I'll jump out.
Oh, all right. Whoa, whoa, I say. Now, have a care getting down.
Look, Catherine, you are already too late. The Tilneys have turned into their lodgings.
Then I shall go after them.
But, Catherine, dearest, what am I to do without you?
You'll have to go on alone, Isabella. Pray have a pleasant day.
Why, Miss Morland, what on earth?
They told me you'd gone out driving. I ran away here in a great hurry to explain.
Henry, Eleanor, who is this young person? And why has she not been shown up properly by the servant?
Oh, I beg your pardon. I could not wait. I ran up the stairs.
This is Miss Morland, Father.
Oh, General Tilney, you must forgive me, but there has been a great mistake.
Ah, Miss Morland. Fullerton, I believe.
Yes, General.
Oh, one or two people have mentioned your name. Eleanor, Henry, make Miss Morland welcome.
Please sit down, Miss Morland. It's quite all right about the walk, whatever happened, and we shall go another day.
But you're quite overwrought, Miss Morland. Would you not like a cup of tea?
No. No, thank you. I really cannot think what I was about to run in here so rudely. Thank you. I'm quite myself again. So much has happened. The Tilneys have been extraordinarily kind to me. I've seen them often. Oh, but the great news, the astonishing news, I can hardly tell it. I had a note from Isabella today, begging me to come to her at once.
Oh, my dearest Catherine, I've been waiting these ages. I died to tell you.
Dear Isabella, what is it? What are you talking about?
Oh, Catherine, your brother is the most charming of men. If only I were worthy of him.
Oh, good heavens. Oh, my dear Isabella. You mean James?
Catherine, your dearest brother has done me the honor to ask me to be his wife. He's gone to Fullerton now to ask your father's permission. He bade me tell you.
Oh, but it is all so wonderful. Oh, I can hardly believe it.
Oh, but now what will become of me if your father says no?
But he only wants his children's happiness. I know he will consent immediately.
Oh, he will never consent. And yet I want nothing. Truly, Catherine, I want nothing. The smallest income in nature would be enough for me. The tiniest little villa in Richmond, and I shall be in heaven.
Isabella, where is your tongue? Why do you not tell dear Catherine your news?
You tell her, Mama.
Oh, Mrs. Thorpe, what is it?
The letter has come from your brother. He has seen your father and has his full consent.
Oh, Isabella, did I not tell you so? And now we shall be sisters.
Yes.
Your father has settled a living of £400 a year on James, and they can marry within 3 years' time.
Oh, that does seem long. But then think how happy you will be.
It is all very charming.
Mr. Morland has behaved very handsomely. It is a small income, perhaps, but then your wishes are so moderate, Isabella.
Oh, I think nothing of myself. You know, Mama, I never think of myself. I was only thinking of my dear Morland.
Of course you are, my dear child, and everyone must think the better of you for such a noble affection.
People must think as they like, Mama. Catherine, will you dance with Mr. Tilney tonight?
I'm engaged to. Oh, his brother has come to Bath.
Captain Frederick Tilney, on leave from his regiment.
Captain Tilney? Would that be the eldest son? The general's heir?
Yes, and they say he's very dashing. What a pity you cannot come along and dance.
Well, then perhaps just for an hour. But no. No, you mustn't put such thoughts into my head, dear Catherine. I shall do absolutely nothing but sit at home with a broken heart. Until my dear Morland returns.
Tilneys have invited me home with them to Northanger Abbey. And Mrs. Allen has kindly consented that I go. Northanger Abbey. The very name is thrilling. I'm sure there'll be dark towers, as there were in the story of the Black Forest. Perhaps. Well, there may even be dungeons.
And through those doors, Miss Morland, are all the offices of the estate. There were some old ruined portions of the abbey.
Yes?
But I tore them all down and built afresh.
Oh, why? What is the matter, dear?
Perhaps Miss Morland finds our abbey too simple.
Oh, no.
I'm sure the rooms are less spacious than those you have at Fullerton.
Oh, indeed, General Tilney. I have never seen rooms as spacious as these in my life.
And now come this way, Catherine.
Eleanor, where are you going?
Why, Father, I was only going to show...
I'm sure there's nothing more to interest Miss Morland. We'd all better be dressing for dinner. It's growing late.
Eleanor?
Yes.
Oh, why was he angry?
Why, he was not angry. We'll go back now. I was only going to show you my mother's room, where she died.
Oh? Has she been dead long? It must have been a great sorrow.
7 years. She died very suddenly. It was a terrible loss to me. I'm very solitary here.
And I suppose there is a painting of her in your father's room?
No, it's in mine. Come, Catherine, we must go and dress. Father would not like us to be late.
Why should General Tilney have been so angry? And why is his wife's picture not kept in his room? It's exactly as it was in the tragedy of Matilda, when the husband kept his wife a prisoner while everyone thought she was dead. I'm determined. I shall go myself tomorrow and see Mrs. Tilney's room. Oh, Mr. Tilney, how came you up that staircase?
How came I up it? Well, because it is my nearest way from the stable yard. Pray, dear Miss Morland, what are you doing wandering in this gallery?
Why, I have been to see your mother's room.
My mother's room? It is very commodious, is it not? Did you like it?
It is very pleasant indeed.
And you came by yourself? That shows a very tender respect for my mother's memory.
Well, Eleanor began to show it to me the other day, and your father became angry. Then I heard that she died very suddenly, and I thought, well, perhaps your father was not very fond of her.
And from this you infer... Miss Morland, my mother was most carefully tended at all times by her physician, and at the last by two other physicians as well.
But was your father afflicted by her death?
Greatly so. My dear Miss Morland, consider the dreadful nature of the suspicions you seem to have entertained. Where on earth can you have got such ideas?
Oh, you must excuse me, Mr. Tilney. I've just remembered. I must go back to my room and finish your Udolpho. Why, I've been so foolish and so wicked. Mr. Tilney will never forgive me. I know that now he has no choice but to despise me forever. Mr. Tilney does not, perhaps, despise me as much as I thought. This is plain from his great amiability and the comfort he has tried to give me in the terrible news I had today. Oh, how could I have been so deceived in anyone?
Oh, my dear Miss Morland, please tell us what is the matter.
Yes, dear. Have you had bad news from home?
No, from James. Oh, I must go away. I cannot stay here.
What? Go away? You must not think of it, whatever for.
I must.
Your brother may come, and I could not bear it.
Our brother? Frederick?
Catherine, what on earth do
you... You say you've heard from your brother? Oh, I begin to see the fair Miss Thorpe.
Yes, you've guessed it. And that is why I've not heard from Isabella. She has deserted my brother and is going to marry yours.
That's impossible.
Oh, it is too terrible. I cannot understand Isabella. But now she has perhaps got the man she really likes. Now surely she will be constant.
Indeed, I'm afraid so. Very constant indeed, unless her eye falls on a baronet. That is Frederick's only chance.
My dearest Catherine, 1,000 apologies for not writing sooner. I am quite uneasy about your dear brother not having heard from him in some time. And I fear there may be a misunderstanding. Be sure you write to him directly and convince him he is the only man I ever did or could love. I am happy to say that odious Captain Tilney has left Bath. He has returned to his regiment. You cannot imagine, my dearest Catherine, how he plagued me. But, of course, I took no notice of him. The styles are really quite dreadful now. Be sure you write to your dear brother immediately. And to me, whoever are your fondest, Isabella.
Well, so now you know all about your dear Isabella, Miss Morland. And we shall hear no more, I hope, of your leaving here to fly from Frederick.
Oh, but I've already been here so long.
Ah, she thinks it long, Eleanor. Best to let her go.
Oh, no. Oh, please do not think so. If I am welcome, I would stay as long again.
Then you shall.
You shall indeed. I must be off tomorrow, and with father away in London, it would be poor manners to leave Eleanor. And I'm sure, Miss Morland, you could not do an unmannerly thing if you tried.
It was only 3 days ago that it was all so happily settled. Now I am the most miserable of creatures. For it was the very next night, after Mr. Tilney had gone, that a carriage drove up very late, and Eleanor and I heard a thunderous knocking at the door. She went down to learn who it could be, and it was half an hour before she came to my room.
Oh, dearest Catherine, how shall I ever tell you?
Tell me what?
Catherine, my father has recollected an engagement. Our whole family is going away on Monday for a fortnight. You and I must part.
Oh, but do not be distressed, Eleanor. I shall have no trouble taking my leave on Monday. I'm sure the General will send a servant with me as far as Salisbury.
Oh, if it were only so. The carriage has been ordered for 7 o'clock tomorrow morning, Catherine, and there will be no servant offered you.
Oh,
what can your father and mother say?
How can I have offended the General?
He is very greatly discomposed. I have never seen him more so. But you can have done nothing.
I'm sorry if I have offended him. Pray do not be unhappy, Eleanor. I can be ready by 7. Let me be called in time. Turned from the house. For what offense? And Mr. Tilney away from home. I could not even bid him farewell. And now I shall never see him again. I can only thank heaven for the kindness of my dearest family.
Depend upon it, my dear. It was something not at all worth understanding. You are safe at home now. Catherine, my dear, would you like to pick some roses and take them over to Mrs. Allen?
Yes, Mama. Later, perhaps.
And what are you doing now, dear? I notice you left your needlework in the parlor.
I will get it.
I hope you are not so out of humor with home because it is not so grand as Northanger. You should always be content wherever you are, and especially at home.
I am content, Mama.
There is a very clever essay in a book upstairs on young girls who've been spoilt for home by great acquaintances. I particularly want you to read it.
Yes, Mama.
And mind you take your thoughts off that man.
Yes, Mama.
I can assure you he's not thinking of you, and I would not have you be such a foolish girl. See who is at the door. I'm going to look for the book. Now, Catherine, mind what I say.
Yes, Mama.
You are quite right. I shall not think of him anymore.
Catherine! Who is down there? Catherine!
Oh!
And so you see, my dearest Catherine, my father had nothing whatever to reproach you with, except that he learned to his extreme disappointment that you were not as so rich as he had thought.
But, Mr. Tilney, how ever could he have supposed that I was rich?
Well, John Thorpe had some speaking acquaintance with Father at Bath, and he had you the heiress of all of Fullerton.
But what could that signify to your father?
Now, let me finish. Father saw Thorpe again in London last week, and Thorpe, having by then no connection with your family, turned his story about and made you as outlandishly poor as he had at first made you outlandishly rich.
And your father turned me out of the house for that reason?
Indeed. Why, you see, when he had thought you rich, I was as much as ordered to capture your heart.
Oh.
But when I came back to Northanger 2 days ago, that order was very loudly and furiously reversed.
Oh.
But, may I dare to hope, my sweetest Catherine, that the second order cannot be carried out?
Oh, dear Mr. Tilney, I assure you, the second order is quite impossible.
My dearest, our long wait is over. My father gives his consent. It has all been because of Eleanor's marriage. His new son-in-law's great fortune has thrown Father into such a fit of good humor that he declares I may, as he says, be a fool if I like it. Sweet Catherine, by his measure, I declare myself the biggest fool in the world.
I suppose I shall not have time for a journal anymore. Married ladies do not keep them, I believe. We've had to wait 3 whole long, terrible months for General Tilney's consent. But now I know that I shall be happy forever.
You have heard Northanger Abbey by Jane Austen, as adapted for the NBC Theater by Clarice A. Ross. In our cast today, Catherine was Virginia McDowell. Mrs. Morland was Doris Lloyd. Mrs. Allen was Norma Varden. Henry Tilney was John Dodsworth. Isabella Thorpe was Constance Cavendish. John Thorpe was Nelson Welch. James Morland was Gilbert Fry. General Tilney was Crawford Kent. And Eleanor Tilney was Alma Lawton. Be with us next week at the NBC Theater for a radio version of Balzac's Père Goriot. These broadcasts of the NBC Theater are sponsored by the National Broadcasting Company as part of a college-supervised course in world literature. If you wish to increase your own knowledge and appreciation of the great novels and novelists, we suggest that you write for full information on these correspondence courses. Write to the NBC Theater in care of one of the following universities or colleges: the University of Louisville, Louisville, Kentucky; Kansas State Teachers College, Pittsburgh, Kansas; University of Tulsa, Tulsa, Oklahoma; Texas College of Arts and Industries, Kingsville, Texas; and Brooklyn College, Brooklyn, New York. Executive producer for the NBC Theater is Wade Arnold. The director of the NBC Theater is Andrew C. Love. This program came to you from Hollywood. 3 chimes mean good times on NBC. Later today, Theater Guild on the Air presents David Niven and Geraldine Fitzgerald in I Know Where I'm Going. Hear this stirring love story today on Theater Guild. And then stay tuned for the music America loves best. The American Album of Familiar Music. More good times on the station where you hear the chimes. Now stay tuned for those remarkable quiz kids on NBC.